Grace to you and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 8th of May. I'm your host, Paul White. We're here 365 days a year. Most of the time, we're going verse by verse through some book of the Bible. Currently, we're working our way through the book of Galatians and have been doing so for most of the time since January the 1st. If we're not working verse by verse, we sometimes air clips from sermons we've preached on the road. We will often air some Q&A sessions from clips on the road. Once a month, share an essay edition, and then every now and then do an interview or something of that sort. Today, we're in the 6th verse of the 5th chapter of Galatians. I like to update you on some of those things from time to time of when certain things started. We started the 5th chapter at the top of the month of May, on May 1st, so that helps us with timing because not everybody jumps in at the same time, and all of these are available at podbean.com, at paulwhiteministries.com, and at your iTunes or anywhere that you get your podcast. Go to Paul White Ministries, and you can find all of those backlogged DDPs and jump in the study with us. Galatians 5:6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. This is the culmination of a 6-verse passage of Scripture where Paul has been working us through the idea of external holiness, like circumcision. That's what he chooses. And he has done this on the heels of, I want to shore a couple things up today before we make our point. He does this on the heels of a very feminine passage of Scripture at the end of chapter 4 where he compares two covenants to two women, Hagar and Sarah. This was a very interesting use of metaphor, and I don't know that I stayed on this or I went this direction the way that I could have when we were in chapter 4, and that is that Paul works his way through the Abraham argument through chapter 3. Then in chapter 4, he does something very unusual. At the end of chapter 3, he says that famous, there's neither Greek nor Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female. The Greek there, he actually doesn't say male nor female. In the Greek, he says male and female. And that's a reference by Paul back to the book of Genesis. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male and female. And so he is destroying distinctions. He's not trying to act as if a man and a woman are now no longer the same thing, but he's taking distinctions away from what it means to be the righteousness of God in Christ, and that it's not going to happen through an old creation being male and female, old creation being Jew and Gentile, old creation being bond and free, but it's going to happen through a new creation. Well, then he steps it up a notch, having used the Abrahamic illustration. He goes feminine, using Abraham's wives, Hagar and Sarah. This is sort of unprecedented ground because Jewish writers didn't use women in their metaphors very often. Go back to the most famous stories of the Old Testament, and the effeminate is always negative. I say always, almost always. The feminine character is almost always negative, and that stems from a biblical theme of the male and the female in some ways representing the light and the darkness. The female fails in the garden, and again, it's not 100%. It's not as if the Bible's trying to hammer this point, but there's this underlying thing where you see a large majority of the women that are actually involved in stories who end up having this negative connotation. Maybe it's Lot's wife who looks back and turns to a pillar of salt. Lot's daughters who get their father drunk and commit incest with him. Bathsheba shows up in the story, negative. You could say it over and over. Jezebel in the story, negative. It's not, again, it's not to say there's not positive female role models in the Old Testament. Now, when you get then into the New Testament and Paul having made this argument that Abraham's descendants are those in Christ, he then sort of flips the script and brings the ladies in. And I don't know that I could belabor it, but I don't want to stay here too long. But in this one fell swoop, he establishes this covenantal idea through a decidedly female metaphor. And then when he turns back to circumcision, a decidedly male practice, he externalizes that and then internalizes something else that is almost always considered feminine, and that is love. And so he has the circumcision argument at the top of chapter 5. Don't go back into this to establish your righteousness or your holiness. Because verse 6, in Christ Jesus, it doesn't avail you anything to either be circumcised or not circumcised. In other words, in Christ Jesus, it is not about the exterior. It is about something far more interior, or as that far more interior is not original with Paul White. That's the Message Bible. I love this. For in Christ, this is Galatians 5, 6 in the Message. For in Christ, neither our most conscientious religion nor disregard of religion amounts to anything. What matters is something far more interior, faith expressed in love. And so when you get to that last phrase, faith working through love, you could say this. In the midst of a church world full of arguments as to what faith should do, should works be involved in your faith? Should faith be completely void of works? In the midst of all of that argument, perhaps we've missed one of Paul's most important arguments, Galatians 5, 6. Faith works. This is a working faith. But how does it work? Not to be righteous, not to declare itself righteous. Faith works through love. And it's an internal thing. It's not an external thing. However, as is the nature of the Holy Spirit, what starts on the inside manifests itself on the outside, same way as an apple started inside of a seed and then manifests itself on the outside as an apple. So faith works inside of us, producing love. What is love if not expressed externally? So you have this choice to make. You can express your righteousness through your external holinesses. Paul uses circumcision. You could use tithing, church attendance, witnessing, hairstyle, no makeup, dress length, what you don't watch, where you don't go. All of those things might even actually make you look good, Paul says in Colossians, a sort of self-imposed humility. Or you can internalize faith, have it in your heart, and let it be expressed through love, which cannot help but come out of you. So then love begins to manifest in the way you treat your brother, and not only in the way you treat your brother, and this is the hard pill to swallow, but in the way you treat your enemy. And he who persecutes you and browbeats you and cuts you down, and the way that you treat that man becomes an expression of the love that's already worked on the inside. That's a love you can't fake. So what comes from the inside out then becomes the real you. It's not just what you say. It's not just what you express. There is more to you in your action than in your articulation. You want to know what your real religion is? Don't give me a list of theology. Act. That's what a man is. It comes out over time. I don't mean the occasional error or mistake determines who you are, but that love comes out. Tomorrow we go with Paul to Galatians 5:7. See you then. God bless.